Greetings, all of our family and friends. It is an honor to be back with you today. I am so excited that we can come together on this Wednesday. We believe God is going to speak in a tremendous, tremendous way. I'm grateful for the presence of the Lord that is already here on the line. I'm going to give you just a minute to get in. So good to see you, Sister Melissa. God bless you. Thank you for joining in while working. Amen. Amen. We want to keep you working and prospering, but I believe God is going to speak tremendously. Yolanda, so good to see you, sister. The Lord bless you. Mario Martinez, God bless you. Maggie Martinez, Bianca, welcome to the podcast. Mary Duran, again, thank you for being with us. Sister Brandy Lawson, it is an honor to be with you today. We are grateful for what the Lord is doing and yet about to do. There is a move of God on the horizon. We are seeing the beginning of it, the rumblings of it, the outpouring of God's presence. And I'm so grateful to be back with you. Last week, again, we pre-recorded our message. We were traveling last week during our normal podcast time in South Africa, and God moved tremendously. Good to see Sister Nadine Pretorius. Her and her husband were able to come and help minister at some of the services. It was an amazing time all the way in South Africa. So God bless you, Sister Nadine. I saw the Lord move mightily at the Firebreed Conference. Amen. I'm so glad to hear that and see the Lord is moving. Amen. Sister Julie, thank you for being there. Sister Priscilla Morgan, thank you for joining us. Sister Joemma, I'm going to ask you if you would to grab your phone as I'm about to do and open it up. Bless you, Juan Leon, and I'm sure most of you are already on watching, but there's a button right at the bottom, and you can hit that share button. If you would do that either via YouTube, or I know it may kick you right out. I know we don't want you to lose the connectivity, but I'm going to encourage you to grab that phone as I'm doing and to hit that share button and do something that the Lord showed me called the work of the evangelist. What does the evangelist do? He shares and she shares the good news of Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to do that. Hit that share button. Let somebody know we are on, and we believe God is going to minister tremendously today through the power of the word of God. I want to pray with you. I'm going to ask that God would open up doors of blessing and favor, and that as this podcast goes forward, there would be a presence and a power that ministers greatly. So I'm doing the same. I'm sharing. I'm liking, I'm following, I'm making sure that there is a sound of blessing and an increase over this word. And we believe in sharing the good news of Jesus, letting people know how they can hear about the word, the presence. And we're grateful for that. So thank you for those that are sharing. Thank you, Juan Leon. So good to see you. Thank you, Sister Eunice. So good to see you. Bless you as well. Sister Sheila, thank you. Sister Marissa, blessings to you, woman of God. Thank you for being with us and joining us. I'm going to get right to the word of God. We are on the precipice of supernatural change. Our key verse for today is in the book of Romans, chapter 8:21. But we're going to be talking today about the power of Pentecost. If you see, again, I'm wearing an RTA shirt. I've been wearing that the last couple of weeks, but we are ready in just a week and a half to celebrate RTA Pentecost. We're going to be raising the altar this week, 1 week from today, about a week and a half from this Friday. 1 week from Friday, we're going to be releasing the word of the Lord, believing that God is going to minister tremendously through and to the people of God at the raising of the altar here in Riverside, California. Those dates, I believe, are of course, May 17th, 18th, and 19th. God is going to move. Pentecost Sunday is coming. I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but let's read Romans 8:21. Then we're going to be going to the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and then we'll start with a word of prayer. But thank you for being with us. Thank you, Denise. God bless you. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us, Nina Campos, wherever you're watching, Beatrice. Thank you for joining. Remember, if you would, one more time, quickly, if you could share the podcast right before we get started, it would help us tremendously in sharing the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So thank you for that. Let's start with the verse here. Romans 8:21 says, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. I want to tell you, glory produces liberty. You're going to talk about that. And that's coming through the sons and daughters of God. Bless you, Daniel, Adame, China, and George. Welcome again. The glorious liberty of the sons and daughters of God. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 1. We're going to read this. I'm going to start with a word of prayer. And when the day of Pentecost fully came, they were in one accord in one place. Verse 2, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Underline that, sitting. Verse 3, and there appeared cloven tongues of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 4, and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them the utterance. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you now, and we ask you, if you would pray with me, do if you can. Lord, I come into agreement now. I ask you for the anointing of your presence that causes miracles and signs and wonders to flow through the podcast, move through these airways, heal and deliver, save and set free. Wherever they are hurting and broken and wounded and going through tribulation, strengthen that man, encourage that woman of God. Let wisdom and revelation flow through each and every life today. I ask you for the miracle working power of your grace. I pray that you would anoint my lips of clay to minister the word of truth, speak to our hearts, minister to our spirits, revive us and refresh us. I pray we would move from just a normal podcast into a supernatural encounter in the glory of the Lord. Let signs and wonders accompany the teaching and preaching of your word, and we will be sure to give you all of the praise, all of the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody that agrees, say amen and amen. Monica Hernandez, so good to see you. Leo the Lioness, God bless you, Sister Leo. The Lord bless you. Lorraine, thank you for being with us. We believe that God is going to speak kingdom living. Thank you for joining us. Let's get straight to that word. Romans 8:21 speaks of a glorious liberty. The only way for there to be freedom in our generation, we must cultivate an encounter with the glory of God. We find the beginning of the church 2,000 years ago. The church is in an upper room, and they are waiting according to the instruction of Jesus on the promise of the Father. He said, go and wait. And oftentimes the church has to be in sync with God. Sometimes we want to go when God says wait, and sometimes we want to wait when God says go. And now God tells them to wait on this promise and to pray and to seek God. And the Bible says that they are in one accord, in one spirit. They are praying for the fire of God to fall. Verse number 2 says, Acts chapter 2 verse 1, and there came something called a suddenly. Let me encourage you, Pentecost deals with suddenly moments. When heavenly time meets earthly time, it's called a suddenly. When there are two words, multiple words used for time, but one of them is the word kairos, and the other is the word chronos. Kairos is would be spirit time, and chronos is chronological time. Bless you, Pastor Edie. So good to see you. Thank you for joining us. Kairos is chronos time or spirit time, and chronos is where we get the word chronological, earth time. Now, when kairos and chronos merge, you have something called suddenly. Suddenlies are when heaven touches earth. Suddenlies are when walls of Jericho fall down. Suddenlies are when oceans open because a rod was stretched over it. Suddenlies are when bread falls from heaven and water comes out of rocks. Suddenlies are when the mouth of lions are closed and the flame doesn't burn the children of God. These are suddenly moments, and God wants to release something called a suddenly. Bless you, Hope. Thank you for being with us. Bless you, Isabel. Thank you, Wendy. Thank you for being with us. Suddenly there came a sound. Let me encourage you, before you see what you're believing to see, you're going to hear it. It is going to be a sound before it's visual. You'll hear the thing before you see it. Let's go, if you would, to Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 1. We'll start there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Bless you, Sister Rose. So good to see you. Margaret, thank you for being here. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2 says, and the earth became. The Hebrew word for was is the word became. It's hayah. It became without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. It moved over waters, and this is how it works. God's Spirit moves over waters. You're 75% water. And what keeps your spirit in you is the waters of life that flow through blood. And it's a whole science. But God's spirit hovers over water. But verse number 3, God saw the darkness and then he said, let there be light. And there was light. So the origin of light is a word. The origin of what is seen is sound. They're finding in quantum physics that the escalation of sound produces light. Sound speeding up is producing light. That God said, and then you saw. You will hear before you see. It will be something audible before it's visual. And oftentimes we're different kinds of learners. We learn kinetically, we different kinds of prophets. But go back, if you would, to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says there was a sound of wind. It wasn't wind, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost fully came, they were in one accord in one place. Now, the word Pentecost here, if you would, the word Pentecost is the word 50. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to go back and regress just a moment. Pentecost is the Greek word. It shows up 3 times in the New Testament. Pentecost deals with the word 50. It just simply means 50. Now, we've came out of denominations. I'm not mad if you're Pentecostal, apostolic in denomination. And, you know, I came out of Spanish apostolic 5 generations, and there wasn't nothing apostolic about it. It was a denomination. Apostolic means sent, order, structure, but it was the denomination. I'm not mad at that. That's fine. But the word Pentecostal is also a denomination or a style of people. But Pentecost literally means 50. Bless you, Brother Frank. So good to see you. The word 50, Pentecost means 50. So there are 3 predominant, for those that don't know this, many do, there are 3 specific feasts in the Old Testament, in the Bible, in the Jewish culture that are recognized. Now, there's many feasts. They like, you know, the Jewish people love the Holy Ghost party. They like to party. Feast just means celebration. And the 3 celebrations that are primarily noted, number 1 is Passover, number 2 is Pentecost, and number 3 is Tabernacles. Number 1, Passover. Number 2, Pentecost. Number 3, Tabernacles. The first Passover happened thousands of years ago when there was a people that had been in Egyptian slavery for more than 400 years. The Bible says God heard the cry of the children of Israel, and God sent a deliverer, a man of God who didn't have the earthly qualifications of speaking, but he was anointed by God to go and deliver a generation. God rose him up, brought some around him to help him do this. The Bible says that in order for the deliverance to come, that God would have to send shakings to Egypt. And that through the shakings of Egypt, God would show his mighty right hand. And the last shaking, you see the river turning into blood. You see pestilence and frogs and lice and all these things happening. The 9th plague was actually God fighting for Israel. The Egyptians called it plagues, but to Israel, it was God fighting for them. The Bible says it became dark. And if you read this text, it wasn't just no sun. It became dark where there was no light, even in the houses. You study the original, they lit candles and it was still dark. There was darkness for days in Egypt. You couldn't light a candle. Nothing drove out the dark. They were in utter dark, not just a lack of sunlight outside where they could be inside the house. There was darkness that covered Egypt according to the word. Bless you, Brother Reuben. Bless you, Gloria. Bless you, Sister Nikki. Thank you for joining us. God, there was darkness to such a degree that even light didn't work. Candles didn't work. They were in extreme, but there was light in Goshen. God protected the children of Israel. Now, let me encourage you, all the shaking that's come and it's happening now. You can see the nation, those that live here in America and all the other nations live in South Africa, live in different nations. But here in America, it's a fever pitch. They are beginning the protesting and beginning in the colleges to protest and about Hamas and about Israel and about Ukraine. They're beginning this eruption. The enemy wants to bring chaos so that we are not focused on the election, focused on the direction of our course. And they did it in 2020. Similar things the enemy wants to bring this season. But we're praying that God would expose these things, that God would be glorified. But let me encourage you. God, the final plague was that God himself would come down with the presence of the Lord, and he would come and visit each house, and the destroyer came with him. It wasn't a death angel, though the angel of destruction was with him. The angel is the guarding of the presence of the Lord. I may have to do some teaching on this, but the Bible says the Lord himself came down. And where there was blood on the door, the destroyer would pass by. Where there was no blood on the door, so the instruction was they were to take a Passover lamb and slay the lamb and eat the whole lamb. Eat the eyes, eat the intestines, eat the ears, eat the hooves, eat everything. Leave nothing left by morning. If your house was too small, I'm in the book of Exodus now, get two houses together and eat the lamb. Whatever was left, burn it by fire that nothing be left in the morning, and make sure that you put the blood on the door. Where there was blood on the door, when the destroyer and the presence of God came, wherever there was blood on the door, there was freedom, there was promotion, there was liberty, there was breakthrough. Wherever there was no blood, there was destruction, there was loss, there was chaos, there was a sound of a great cry of turmoil. And this is called the Passover. And generation after generation, they were commanded to celebrate something called the Passover. Now, fast forward thousands of years into the future, we have our Passover lamb. And to those that say God is not, just throwing things out there, God is synchronized, God is specific. It so happened that our Passover lamb, bless you, Sister Miriam, glad you're with us, that on that Friday night, which happened to be Passover, how do we know that Jesus was slain on a rugged cross on Golgotha, that our Passover lamb, Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, was sacrificed on the hill of Golgotha more than 2,000 years ago on this very night, and that the sun was setting and they went to break his leg because Passover was coming. Jesus was being offered on that night. And so we celebrate our Passover lamb, which is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, who was shed and slain for us, and so that we could receive atonement and be reconciled to God. Now, 50 days later, 50 Pentecost means 50. So once Pentecost begins, once Passover begins, 50 days from Pentecost, from Passover is Pentecost. That's the number 50. Now 50 is the number Jubilee. So if you're to count 50 days, once Passover begins, that is Pentecost. I want you to look at that number 50. Somebody say 50. Now, Leviticus 25, verse 11, 50 in the Hebrew deals with something called Jubilee. All right, Jubilee. Every 50 years, there would be something called Jubilee. Now, Jubilee is when a trumpet would be blown and they would cancel the debts, they would cancel the records, they would cancel everything owed, and it would be a freedom year. Every 50 years, so this is a symbolization of a trumpet being blown, 120 prayer warriors in an upper room blowing the trumpet like Solomon blew the trumpet in the dedication of the tabernacle. 120 trumpets, silver and gold trumpets blew, and then God revealed the glory. While in the book of Acts, there's 120 on jubilees, synchronized, praying, and the Holy Ghost falls. Every jubilee, a jubilee shall the 50th year be to you. You will not sow, neither shall you reap, which grow of itself, nor gather grapes in it of the vine. Undressed verse number 12 tells us, for it is the jubilee, it is holy unto you, ye shall eat the increase of the field. Verse 12, one more, jubilee. Edna, bless you, Sister Edna. For it is jubilee, it shall be holy to you, and ye shall eat the increase of the field. Let me encourage you. Bless you, Rochelle. Jubilee is about increase. Jubilee is about the trumpet being blown and all of the debts being canceled, all of what was owed being restored. It is a year. Verse 13, in that year, verse 13, you shall return every man your possessions. Whatever was owed to you, whatever was taken from you. You see, for us in America, I don't know about South Africa, I don't know about London, I don't know what the collections, collection here in America is. When you got a bill, right, and you don't pay your bill, whether a credit card bill, a car bill, they send you to something called collections. And these collectors, their job is to call you. Their job is to look for, say, help us, Lord, to make calls, to send you letters, to chase you down and to get your money back. And if they don't get the money back, they put you on a list. And this list is called a judgment. They'll end up getting a judgment against you, and it goes on your credit. And it means you defaulted on a loan, you borrowed money, and they try to prove you owe this money, and now they soil your name. That's all they can do so that nobody else will loan you money. They've got three credit bureaus here in America, and all three of them have different accountings of what your score is. That's how it happens here in America. After 7 years, this is what they found here. After 7 years, the debt falls off, and they can't charge you after that. They still try. It's illegal here. So I'm only bringing that up. In America, that's how debts are canceled. That's how debt works. They offer you cards, and many young people are giving credit cards right out of high school, 18, and they don't know that they don't read the fine print. 29% interest, 30% interest, 40%, ridiculous, to where you're being charged and you'll never get out of this debt. It'll hold on to your life, and you need a miracle to get out. Well, in that time, when you owed a debt, you didn't go on a list. Say, help us, Lord. When, same in, Sister Teresa says, same in South Africa. All right, praise the Lord. I guess they've all got together and they've made a plan to try and get that money. Well, in this time, when you owed a debt, they took your home, they took your car, they took your animals, they took everything you owned. And if that wasn't enough, they would take your children into slavery. I'm going to read you this. Let's go, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 1. This is a parable of a widow woman who was a widow of a prophet who served the man of God. At 2 Kings chapter 4, chapter number 4 and verse number 1, 2 Kings. And there came, chapter 4, verse 1, go back to verse 1. There cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets to Elisha. So Elijah is the leading prophet over the school of the prophets, over all of those who are prophets. Now there's a widow, and the wife of a certain widow of the wives of the prophet, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead," meaning now she's a widow. Now in that day, women were not allowed to work, engage in commerce. So when their husband died, they had no means. They couldn't go get a job. They were more, and it was barbaric. It's not of God, but women were more possession than they were equality. It was not of God. And I really believe that there is a movement for the women of God that are coming into the earth, because this is one group of people in every culture that has been marginalized, that has been segregated against, there are still whole movements that don't believe women of God can be used, because this is, and let me make it clear, the Bible says there's neither male nor female, bond nor Jew, bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, they're all one in Christ. So in Christ, God can use anybody. I said anybody. Are you listening? So I'm giving you some background to what's happening. Now the Bible says there's a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets, saying, "Thy servant, my husband is dead, and you know that he did fear the Lord, and the creditors are come to take away my sons to be bondmen," meaning now the creditors have come for the children. I need you to listen to me. I heard this. The Lord said Jubilee is a season when the trumpet is blown and the debts are canceled. When the children come home after 20 years, 30 years in captivity, where they left, and let me encourage you, the division that you went through and I went through and we all go through, from father to son, from son to mother, from son to daughter, whatever this division is, it is a generational force that doesn't want you close to your children. It doesn't want you walking in agreement. It doesn't want your children worshiping with you and home. Doesn't want them loving you. See, you love them the best of your ability, but there is a power, there is a force, there is a spirit in the generations of sin and wickedness that wants to divide children, wants to stop our children from serving God, keep our grandchildren running the streets, keep our cousins and nephews and this generation afraid and lost. Said these creditors came to take the children. The Bible says the prophet responded, verse number 2:4, and Elijah said, what shall I do for thee? Tell me what is in your house. The answer is in the house. Listen by the Spirit. The answer is in your generational lineage. It's inside of the family. See, the thing that is hurting us is actually going to help us. The thing the enemy brought to take our children and to take, and it's very rare. It happens And thank God for obedient children. I was speaking to a couple this past weekend in South Africa. They said, thank God that my daughter's obedient. Praise the Lord. There is a blessing there. But it's very rare you can find fathers and children and grandchildren in one church worshiping session. You don't find multiple generations together. You want to know why? Because the devil hates generational unity. He wants to divide us. Elijah said, what shall I do for thee? Tell me what is in your house. And she said, thy handmaiden hath not anything in my house save a pot of oil. I need you to hear me. There is an oil that is about to multiply. That when God releases this oil, he's going to do it in front of your generation. I don't have anything but one pot of oil. This is all that's in the house. I want you to be encouraged. God has something for you, and it is in your own house, in your own local church. It's right where you are consistently. Your house is not just your home, your family. It is the place that you are received. It is your church. It is the people around you. It is your local community. It is your church family, but it is also your home family. And oftentimes they are a reflection of one another. And the Bible says there's oil in the house. I want you to write that. There's oil in the house. You don't need a lot. God will reproduce it. Verse number 3 said, then the prophet said, go and borrow the vessels abroad of all your neighbors, empty vessels. Don't borrow a few. That means borrow many. Borrow as many as you can, empty. And when you've come in, verse 4, shut the door on thee and upon your son. This is about your next generation. Who is the enemy coming for? The sons, the daughters. The enemy is coming for your legacy. He doesn't mind you being blessed, but he doesn't want it to go on your children. He doesn't mind Abraham having all this wealth, but Abraham says, what good is everything I have if my children are, I don't got no heirs. Everything I have is going to Eleazar of Damascus. But I want to prophesy to you, the jubilee of God is coming upon you and upon your house. And there is a trumpet that is going to blow in the spirit that is going to signify a hastening of God's presence into the church again. And the children will come home. The prodigals will be delivered. You say, I've been waiting, Apostle. I've been praying. We as a church have been prophesying this and speaking this for years, not months, for years. The prodigal, and we've seen hearts of prodigals start to turn. We've seen people that didn't want to come at all are now coming. We've seen parts, but let me encourage you. You are a part of that miracle. You are a part of that breakthrough, allowing God to finish this thing. The Bible says she shut the door and this miracle was done in front of her son. And when you've come in, shut the door upon you and upon your son, and pour out into those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. God says it's time to pour out. God says it's time for things to be done in your home, in your family, in your local assembly. There is a move of God. Verse number five says, so she went from there and shut the door upon her and her son, and who brought the vessels to her. So now the son is partnering with the miracle. I want you to be encouraged. God is about to awaken your family, the prodigals, your children, your generation, your loved ones, and they're going to partner with the miracles. And she poured out, and it came to pass when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is no more. Then the oil stayed. As long as there is a continual pour, the oil is going to keep going and keep going and keep going. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 60. See, I want to encourage you, jubilee. Isaiah 60 and verse 1, jubilee is about releasing a sound in the spirit that releases a wind, a presence, an anointing. And this wind and this presence and this anointing begins to blow into a company of men and women gathered together in an upper room, in a place of worship. And this encounter is going to change the world. It didn't only change the 120. The reason you're here, you're where you are in South Africa, wherever you are, in London, wherever you are, watching this around America, the reason I'm sitting here in California and I know the name of Jesus and I can worship and give God glory, it's because 120 people in an upper room somewhere got alone with God and prayed and cried out and fasted and sought God with all of their heart. And God responded to their cry. And at an appointed time, he released something called the glory. Actually, hold Isaiah 60. Go with me back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. I'm going to go back to Isaiah 60 in a moment. But Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost came fully, 50 days. So how many days is Passover from Pentecost? 50. Now Jesus died on the cross on a Friday night, on Passover evening, according to the scripture. He was in the grave 3 days, 3 days. 3 days in the grave. He walked on the earth after that 40 days, 40. So 40 plus 3 is 43. Then he ascends in the book of Acts and says, go and wait. So they're waiting for 7 days in an upper room, praying and seeking God. 7 days, a 7 day shut-in. They're seeking God. And they finally come to something called one accord and one place. I'll say that again. One accord. I've got to hurry. I don't have all day today, but I want to give this to you. Acts chapter 2 says they come into one accord. I hear this by the Spirit. God said he's going to bring the body, the leadership. He's going to bring the headship into one accord. I heard it loudly. One accord in one place. The word one accord is the Greek word homothomedon. Homothomedon, homo means same, right? The same. And the word medon, thomos, is the word passion. So the same passion. They came into the same passion. They came into one accord. Acts chapter 2. And they were with one accord, which is one mind and one passion, and in one place, which is one identity. The word place is the word autos, which means the same identity. Now, it's location, yes, but it's one identity. Let me encourage you. The enemy wants to stop this release with division. I heard it loudly, and we're going to have to, at all costs, bring unity in headship, in leadership. God said it's time to work this thing out no matter what the cost. He said, I have to have it. You've got to bring unity to headship. I want you to listen, parents. Parents, hear me by the Spirit. You've got children that need help. You've got nephews and nieces that need help. God is going to start from the head to the beard to the skirts. It's coming from the head down. If there can be agreement in headship, all the order will come. We're looking for solutions. God spoke to me. I heard it loudly. We're looking to fix these problems and finances and miracles and churches and systems and businesses. And we want all of these answers. God says, I need headship to be in order. He said, in one accord, in one place, if we can get in one accord, in one place, no matter what, if we can set our mind to this thing. Verse number 2, then suddenly there came. There was a suddenly engagement, a sound from the heavenly. There was a response. Remember, they had been there for 7 days trying to get in accord, trying to get in one spirit, in one identity, in one mind. And they finally got in one accord, in one place. Bless you, Amitha. Thank you. So good to see you. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, and it wasn't wind. It was as rushing mighty wind. Rushing is movement. Let me encourage you. What you're trying to get done, God is going to give you power to get done like this. A rushing wind is a moving wind, a rush. This word rush is the word carry, to pick up burdens, to bear oneself. But this wind is going to carry the burdens that have been trying to weigh you down, to hold you down, to keep you out. There is a wind that's going to pick up some things off of us and move it. There is a rush. The word mighty is the word power. Mighty, biaos, violent force. Mighty, violent force. There is a power and a violent wind that's going to pick us up. And the wind of God is going to empower us to do what we could not do. A rushing, mighty wind, a breath. Now, I said, Lord, what does wind do? He said, the job of wind is to blow, breath, wind, to breathe life. So this wind of life started to blow on the people of God. This wind of life started to touch. It also blows what is not rooted. I saw tornado winds in my spirit. I saw hurricane winds. I saw winds 100 miles an hour, 200 miles an hour. Winds so strong that it would pick up a car and throw it across the city. Winds so powerful that it could pick up a house and flip it upside down. Supernatural winds. God said the purpose of wind is to blow everything that's not rooted. See, he said there's 120 Jewish believers, and I'm about to shake the kingdom. I'm about to bring all nations. But the problem is they are traditional. They think a certain way. The wind is to change our thinking. The wind is to blow out whatever is not rooted in Christ. That these ways and concepts leave us so we can get ready for the harvest of nation. God said there's a wind of revival coming. There's a wind of harvest, but we've got to bring order. We've got to get in position. We've got to bring strategy. This rushing mighty wind filled the house where they were seating. This month we're teaching on being seated in Christ. Blessing Sister Casey. And God says, I want you to rest. I want you to rest. Bless you, Sister Sarah. I want you to come to this place of rest in your spirit. I want you to sit down in the spirit and begin to breathe and know that I'm with you and trust. Allow this rest. See, certain things do not come until we sit. It didn't come until they sat. Now, there's different postures of prayer. You can be prostrate, which is lay on your face. You can kneel down, which is to bow your knee. You can kneel, bless you, Sister Teresa. You can lay back on your back and you can look up at prayer. But seated is a position of royalty. It's a position of dominion. We read this earlier. I'm going to read this to you. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 5 speaks of, 2 verse 6, of our spiritual position in the spirit realm. We're going to read that. Here's what Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6. The Bible says he has raised us up together. I'll repeat that. He rose us up together. When he rose, he brought us with him. The Bible says that when he rose us up together and sat us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm going to read it again. When he rose, now again, in verse 5 it says we're quickened. Verse 5, go back if you would. The Bible says, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, he made us alive. So that's the type of resurrection. All right, so we were dead, and now we've been raised with him. We're now quickened, which means raised from the dead. Come back to life. Come back to living. Verse number 6, then he ascended, the Bible says. Raised means now there's an ascension in the spirit. God ascended far above principalities and powers and every name that is named. And when he ascended, he brought you with him. When he ascended, he raised high above every name, every power, and he brought the church of Jesus Christ with him. And he's waiting for us to realize we're ascended. Now, not only did he ascend us, then he sat us in the high places. He sat us far above principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. So he rose us and now ascended us. Here is what Luke chapter 1 verse 19, you see, in the spirit, in the throne of God, Luke 1:19, there are not many seats. You see 24 thrones, those are for elders, for leaders. But in the midst of the thrones, there's one throne. And God says, it even tells us that we are seated in his throne with. I'm going to show you in a minute. It's almost too good to be true. Here's what the Bible says. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. This is the angel of the Lord sent to speak to the mother of John the Baptist and the mother of Jesus, Mary and Elizabeth. And he's speaking to the father of John the Baptist, and letting him know, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I've been sent to speak with you and show you these things. He's like, I get to stand in God's presence. See, we're not standing, we're seated. God gave you a place of authority. If you would go to Revelation 3 and verse 20, this is God's petition. He's inviting you to have a seat in authority. See, behold, I stand at the door, I'm knocking. If you hear the voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and you and me. See, there is a God allows you to go through opposition. Opposition is very vital to you overcoming your situation. You'll never know how strong you are till you resist something and overcome. You see, stories of loss and stories of pain and stories of tragedy, unfortunately, they're not uncommon. There are so many stories of sadness and loss and unfairness and tragedy. But what turns a tragedy into glory? What turns loss and suffering and pain into victory in Christ? It's a right disposition. It's going through the tragedy and responding by opening the door to let him in. He said, I'm near you when you go through this. Bless you, Barbara. So good to see you. I'm near those of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. When you go through the tribulation, I'm right there. But I need you to open the door. The problem is we go through and we close the door to wall ourselves off. We want to protect ourselves because we're wounded and we're hurt. I've been there. I know that feeling to try and wall yourself so no one can hurt me and no one can wound me. I understand that. But when we do this, we don't only wall other people out, we wall the Lord out. We say, well, I'm communion with God. There's another level of communion waiting for all of us. No matter how great your communion with God is, there's a new level waiting, a new dimension. Behold, I'm at the door. The word door is the word portal. I'm at the door. I'm knocking. How is he knocking? With his voice. If you hear the voice and open the door, if you invite him in, I will come in and then I'll commune with you. The word sup is commune. I'll exchange. The burdens begin to go. The frustrations begin to go. The fear begins to go. The anxiety begins to go. Now you loose these burdens and you pick up the oil. You pick up the anointing. You pick up the grace. Then once you commune with God, verse number 21 says, now once you've communed with God, you will have power to do something called overcome. Not undercome. Not aroundcome. Not just brush it under the rug. You've got to overcome this. If we do not overcome, we cannot expect spoils. You say, well, isn't salvation free? It is. But the glory is not free. The kingdom is not free. It costs you your life. In order for you to walk in freedom, it's going to cost you everything. To him that overcomes, meaning many will not overcome. Many will not be able to overcome the issue and the wound and the pain and the hurt and the rejection and the loss and the tragedy and the suffering. And my heart goes out for any suffering, any pain. But suffering in God's hand can turn to glory. If you put it in, he said, to him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. This is in red. You're not seeing it in red here. If you overcome, I will let you sit with me in my throne, even also as I overcame and am set down in the throne of my Father. So wait a minute. If there's one throne in the middle, God's inviting you to sit with Christ in that throne. I know it sounds heretical. I'm a church boy. I grew up in church. And God is inviting me to his throne? To the throne? Yes. If I'll give him my suffering, if I'll give him my pain, if I'll give him my rejection, if I'll give him the unfairness, and I'll lay my crown at his feet, he'll invite me not to sit around him, which I would be okay with that. He's saying, come and sit with me in my throne. It's unheard. It just doesn't sit right in the religious mind. My mind has a hard time wrapping, but my spirit says, that's where I belong. If I'll humble myself. Verse number 22 says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Acts chapter 2, verse 2, there came from heaven a sound. This sound was a wind. It was a wind. It was a sound of a movement, the rush of God. God's hand is going to pick up the men of God, the women of God. God's hand is going to pick up the leaders and thrust you forward. You don't have to make it happen. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be anxious. God will make doors open for you that you can't open for yourself. God will bring you before rulers and kings. God will use you in a way not possible. When God's hand picked up Elijah and carried him in front of the chariot of Ahab, he put him past what he could build in his own power. Bless you, Julie. God wants you to walk in this. There came a sound of rushing, moving, mighty wind, and it filled the house. It filled the family where they were seated. You're listening. Bless you, Brother Ray. Verse number 3 says, now there came from heaven an appearance. See, it first was an ear, then it was a vision. First you heard this, and then you saw this. First, in Acts chapter 2, verse 2, they heard the sound. Then, verse number 3, then they saw. They heard, and then they saw. Bless you, Priscilla. They heard, and then they saw. They heard the sound, then they saw the wind. They saw the tongue. There appeared. There was a revelation. They heard it, then they saw it. Now, after they heard it, they saw a cloven tongue like fire. Bless you, Sister Lupe. A cloven. Now, the word clove is the word separate. The word cleave is come together. When a husband and wife, the Bible says, for this purpose, a man will leave his father and mother and be cleaved. That word means joined together to his wife. This is what we need. Come together. The church has to come together. The enemy doesn't want that. We've got to come together by the Spirit of God. Whatever it is that's stopping, cleave. Now, this is the word clove, which means a separate tongue, a distinct language, a distinct power, a dialect. A tongue is a dialect. It's not just robo shitalabande. That's wonderful. But this was a separate tongue, a dialect of fire. It was a language a fire. If you understand this, God is trying to give you the key for the kingdom of glory and fire in your language. He's trying to give you the power to be able to call the chariots of fire, the angels of fire, the finances of fire, the miracles of fire. God is trying to do this by the Spirit of God. God is trying to do this by the Spirit of grace. He wants to release tongues of fire, languages of fire, intellect, wisdom, revelation, counsel, miracles, and signs. He wants to do it by His Spirit. There is a technology that is supreme. There is a technology that is supernatural. Bless you, Bishop. So good to see you all the way from London. Man of God, Bishop Francis, we've been thinking about you. We were at the Legacy Center just a day or two ago at the prayer wall. It's unusual that you're on, and God was speaking. I'm going to be sending you a message soon. God bless you, man of God. But there is something called the language of fire. Now, the language of fire unlocks the technology of heaven. Now, God's technology is higher than man's technology. Man's technology needs airplanes to travel. And I'm still getting over the jet lag. Those of you ministers that travel know we just returned Saturday from South Africa. 26 hours in a plane, not including getting and to the airport, 30 plus hours of travel. And your body is tired from traveling in a jet-fueled plane across the ocean. And you have something called jet lag. We know about that, men of God. And your body's tired. But in the spirit, that's man's technology, aerodynamics and lift and thrust. Jets and fuel, but in the spirit there's a higher technology which Philip tapped into and Jesus walked in after his resurrection. Jesus no longer used doors. At the end, when he ascended after the third day, he didn't walk through doors anymore. He caught light. And this is called supreme technology. You see, they have something called smart technology. Amen, Bishop. Looking forward to talking. They have something called tech smart homes. A smart home is when the thermostat and the television and the refrigerator and the radio and the garage door, they all are voice activated. House on, light on, car on. You say car on and the car turns on. You say light on and the thermostat turns on. Car on. You see this happen by the Spirit, that you say this thing and it's called smart technology. Boy, let me encourage you. God had smart technology before man even dreamed of it. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be, and it was. God's voice creates. Men use medicine, not against doctors. We've got doctors in our church. But God uses glory. He recreates arms. He recreates eye sockets. He raises the dead with words. God can do this by His Spirit. God wants to do this by His Spirit. Heal, raise the dead, heal the sick. This is called heavenly. See, this language, if you can put this in the comments section, the language of fire. It is a dialect. It is a sound. Cloven tongues of fire. See, the Bible speaks of tongues of men, but also tongues of angels. The tongues of angels is a dialect. It is a sound. It is a communication of the fire of God and the glory of God and the wind of God, to where the elements obey your voice the way it obeys God's voice. You see, when Jesus spoke the word of God over the ocean, spoke the word of God over the bread, spoke the word of God over the fig tree, spoke the word of God over the limbs and over the dead. The voice in the voice caused life to come. Yes, Jesus was God. We know that to be true. But now He said, my word is in your mouth. My power is in your mouth. And the cloven tongue of fire is a separate dialect. It is an intellect. It is a wisdom. It is a revelation. It is mysteries that God wants to show you how to raise the dead with words, how to grow back arms, how to speak and gold appears in the mouth of fishes, how to decree a word and bread multiplies so that there's no more hunger in Africa, South Africa. There's no more hunger in Zimbabwe. There's no more hunger in India. Why? God is the source. God said, I want to feed 5,000. And the disciple says, we don't got enough money to do that. God knew what He would do, because He wasn't the resource. He was the source. He spoke as one having power, because He had the language of fire. This language of fire, Jesus said, I'm going to baptize you with fire. There appeared, Acts chapter 2, verse 3, there appeared separate dialects of fire that sat on them. It remained, there was a dialect, a language. Yes, it was tongues, but it was a language of communication. And then they were filled with the Holy Ghost as the Spirit began to give the utterance. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God filled them. I said it filled them. That Spirit came upon them and it began to bubble. And that wisdom began to flow. And that power began to flow. And that miracle began to flow. That sound went through the atmosphere. And you know what happened? In just a few moments, thousands began to gather and hear their own language. They began to hear the Medes and the Persians. It so happened that all nations were gathered. And when that sound went out, the tongues of men, they begin to draw all devout men from every nation, and they heard these Galileans speaking their own language. Genesis chapter 11, men was divided by language. It was a language. You want to know what divides us? Not because I'm brown and you're black, and because he's white and they're yellow. Not because they're red and they're blue. Not because they're Democrat and they're Republican. Not because they're liberal, and not because we're conservative. Not because you're American and they're Chinese. No. You know what divided? Language. We were one language with one voice, and anything we dreamed was possible. They had one voice, you want to know what the devil's plan is? Division, dividing leadership, dividing heads, dividing marriages, to keep us not rising, to keep us not set. But when unity comes, God will open doors for you no one can close. Genesis 11 says they were one voice, verse 1, and one language, and nothing they dreamed was impossible. I said they were one voice, and they were one language. The whole earth had one language, had one speech. There was one dialect. And this one dialect produced one synchronization, a symphony, a sound of perfect unity. Verse number 2 says this one leg, and it came to pass, they journeyed from the east. Go to verse number 3. They journeyed and they dwelt there. And they said, let us go and make brick. And burn them thoroughly, and they burn brick for stone and slime for mortar. They said, we're going to build something to reach heaven. Verse 4 says, and they said, let's go and build a city and a tower whose top may reach heaven, and let us make a name for ourselves. Here is the issue now. This is the problem. They were not there to lift the name of God. They were there to build their name. This is a problem. This is an issue. This is a cancer or a virus in the church, that we want to build our names. We want to make our name. But God said, no. Where are you going to make my name great? This is where religion first is seen. They build a tower with their hands to its religion to reach heaven, their own works and their own power to build their own name. The Bible says, let's make a name great, that we be not scattered. Now, it's not a wrong thing to unify, but they're not there to make their name great. They're to make God's name great. They're there to make their name great. Verse number 5 says, and the Lord, here's what the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of God had built in their own power. That was the problem. Verse 6, and the Lord said, behold, the people are one language, and they are one voice. They are one. They are one language. And this they begin to do. Now nothing shall be restrained from them. Nothing will be impossible to these people when they are one voice and one language. God said it to himself. The people are one. They have one language. They've got one sound. They're unified, and nothing they dream I can hold from them. This is God talking now. This principle of unity, this principle of synchronization, this principle of oneness in the Spirit. Verse 7 says, and God said, go, let us go down and confound their language, that they may not understand their speech. So God, verse 8, so God, the Lord, scattered them from the face of the earth. Who divided? God did it. You want to know why? Because we were unified against him. But how did God divide us? Language. How is God going to unify us? Language. If you get into a room and you start mingling with people, you will find sections of people merge based on language. What interests them? What are they? If you find somebody who likes football or cricket or soccer, and you like golf, you're going to find that same passion is going to draw them no matter what culture they are. Language unifies or language divides. Now, God said, I've got a problem. The earth is divided. I did it because they were unified against my name. But what I'm going to do in the book of Acts, I'm going to send a sound. I'm going to send a language. And go back to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4. There was one sound and one voice. I'm done. I've got to pray for you. I've got to get you off here. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them. Now, there's something else that manifests. It's called other tongues, other languages, and the Spirit is speaking through them. Verse 5 says, there was devout men, I'm just about done, dwelling in Jerusalem. Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. So somehow every nation is represented here. They're there worshiping according to the word. Verse 6 says, and when there was noise abroad. Now this noise was, I believe, yes, people talking, the sound of 120 worshiping. But I believe something in the spirit was released called the tongues of men. And when you tap into the tongues of men, it's better messages than WhatsApp, better messages than Facebook Messenger. It's a sound that goes into the spirit, which is called a clarion call, that begins to awaken people out of their beds and draw them. The tongues of men draw the laborers and draw the heads and draw the doors and draw the kingdom assignments and draw the other like kingdom men who can't be bought and will not be bribed and will not forsake the memorial and the headstones of our forefathers, but will hold to truth, who will hunger for righteousness and hunger for passion and hunger for purity. The scripture says, the Bible says, there was noise in the spirit and the multitude came together. This is what's going to happen. I know that there's a lot of division, black church, white church, there's a lot of division, brown and white, and people are angry, people are upset. Hamas is mad at Israel, Israel's mad, Ukraine is mad at Russia. Nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, but don't you be afraid. Lift your head. God is bringing redemption and healing and miracles. They came together and they were confounded because every man heard them speak their own language. When you speak the language of that man of God, you win their heart. If you got an interpreter, you're going to win their mind. But if you know their language, you get their heart. They heard their own language and they were amazed and they marveled and said to one another, behold, are they not all Galileans which are speaking these dialects? They heard their own language, and how hear we every man in our own tongue where we were born? You understand, God wants to unify the church. God wants to set revival and restoration. He wants to take 120 and raise up a movement that goes around the world, the Medes and the Persians, and they came, and 3,000 came in one day. I said 3,000 in one day came into the kingdom. Another place, 5,000. I've got to pray with you. Let me encourage you. We've got 1 week and a few days until Pentecost. I said we've got 1 week and just a couple of days. And God says, I'm going to pour my spirit out again. Here is what God told me. He told me this as I landed, as I got through the Pope, through the Pope of Preaching Sunday. He said, son, you've got to bring order. Order at any cost. Love everybody. Order has to come. Order in your home. Order in your family. Order in your church. Bring the order. Bring it. Love everybody. Pray for it. But order has to come, because I'm going to pour my spirit upon all flesh. And I'm going to open up doors that no one can close. I need to pray with you. Man of God, woman of God, teacher, preacher, businessman, child of the King. God says, I've ordained you by the Spirit to walk in my spirit, my power. I want to restore. Let me pray with you. God, I come in the name above every name to minister to this man, to encourage this woman of God. Pray with me now that the weights and the burdens and the tribulations and the thing you're feeling is creation groaning on the inside. I see leaders, I see ministers, I see heads of state, I see governors, I see business owners, I see overseers, and there are weights of glory you've been feeling, you've been groaning within yourself. And there is a wave of glory and fire about to outbreak in this season as never before. And it will flow from nation to nation, from city to city, and from region to region. There is a sound of rushing mighty power that is about to flow through nations and through communities and through generations. I'm going to open up my mysteries. I'm going to open the scrolls of heaven and reveal the deep things of God. The dead will be raised with regularity. Blinded eyes will open. A wave of revival glory will come through nations. It will hit America. It will hit the UK. It will hit South Africa. It will hit continents. It will hit territories. I'm going to pour my spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters will begin to prophesy. Old men and young men will dream visions again. Handmaidens will prophesy. Signs and blood and fire and smoke will be poured out. And anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let it go. Let miracles come to these men. You've been under a battle. You've been under a strain. You are not disqualified. God loves you. He's appointed you. He's picked you. He's chosen you. And he will not change his mind. I decree it by the, I just sense it. It is an appointed time. And God is going to deal. I see an issue of cancer. I bind that cell of cancer. I bind that mutation of the blood, and you are going to live and you are not going to die. Our generation needs you, sir. Our generation needs you, woman of God. I declare in the name of Jesus, your blood is going to come into order. And insomnia is coming off, and restlessness and torment, spirit of suicide. You have no power over this woman of God. You have no power over this man of God. They belong to Jesus, but they are going to set captives free. They are going to deliver. There is a wave of glory you've determined for this appointed time. Now let us come into one place. Let us come into one accord. Let us walk in your spirit. Let us move in your power. Now I pray according to your word, a revival, an awakening, an outpouring of the Spirit of God. Hit nations now. Prepare us for the move of God. Prepare us for the mighty outpouring of the glory of God in the land of the living. I pray it now. And I thank you that angels are moving and they are ministering to bodies. Some of you are feeling a warmth in you right now. Your left side, I see someone with a stroke in their body. A stroke been difficult. You're recuperating by the power of the blood. You can lift those hands and healing is flowing from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. By the Spirit of grace, I see another that has had issues in their respiratory system. Since COVID, you've not been able to breathe well. You've been having issues breathing. But in the name of Jesus, I speak to those lungs. I command them to open up by the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray it now. I pray that spirit of torment. I see night terrors, like not wanting to sleep, nightmares coming, night terror. By the Spirit of God, I declare you are covered by the blood. Your family is well. Your children are well. In the name, I declare jubilee. I declare over the next 13, 14 days, as we prepare to come into Jubilee season, of the next 11 days, as we get ready to come into Pentecost, I decree Jubilee over these men. I decree freedom and wellness and spiritual and financial debts being canceled. And I declare their doors are opening for them that no one can close. This I pray according to the word, and we'll give you glory and we'll give you honor in Jesus' name. If you agree with the man of God, somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Wow, what a privilege to be with you. I'm sweating in the studio, praise God. The power of God is here. We are grateful for what he has done. If you were ministered to, I'm going to ask you to share that testimony. If somebody was prayed for, if your condition was called out, somebody say, I agree, say amen. Just stand with it. I believe the fire of God is flowing. I can feel it in the studio. It is a powerful grace, and there is much more God is going to do. Bless you, Sister Cindy, Brother Marco, so good to see you. Sister Veronica, thank you for joining us. I'm going to pray that God, as we prepare to dismiss you, would carry this word. If you were impacted, I'm going to ask you to sow an offering of sharing. If you can do that, if this word ministered to you in any way, you can take that share button on YouTube, take that share button on Facebook, and hit the share button. Hit it once, hit it twice. They ain't gonna get mad at you, and share the word of the Lord. I believe this is a supernatural. Bless you, Sister Jocelyn. So good to see you. If this ministered to you, share this word. I believe this Pentecost season, we're going to see a synchronization of leadership, a release of power, and doors are going to open. Inheritance is coming. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Sister Maria. We're praying for you. We're going to be dismissing now our Charisma podcast. May the Lord bless you, keep you, make his face to shine upon you, give you rest. And we can't wait to see you right here back at the same time for our Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast. God bless you. We love you.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast with Apostle Nathaniel Leon. Stay up to date with our latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app, YouTube, or by liking us on Facebook at This Rock International. Thank you for listening and have a blessed day.